So I'm going to get into today's message. It's kind of a follow-up off of last week's message. Who was here last week that remembers anything about last week that was spoken? Remember I shared a couple of quick little incidences that happened with Kevin in the wallet, the lost wallet, and the stolen weed eater? And he said, God told me something. He spoke something to me very clearly. He said that God is actively and even aggressively into restoring that which was lost or stolen from us. And when you stop and think about it, he's been at that business. He's been doing that ever since the fall. I mean, even after Adam and Eve, their fall, he was aggressive in restoring that which was lost, that which was stolen. But here's something else that I believe he's also into doing, and it kind of is in line with that, and that's, I believe in today's message, you'll see it, because in that involvement that God is aggressive about. He's aggressive in restoring that which was lost and stolen, but also into that which has been surrendered, that which has been given over to the enemy's control. Hello? That's a little bit of a different thing altogether. They're all three of those aspects of life that something that I deal with in my life. There's things that have been stolen from me, things that I've lost, and things that I have surrendered. I've given up. And there's one thing that I'm going to talk about today, but that's going to actually fit in all of it. You're going to be like, wow, this is, and I've never seen it to be this big of a deal, other than as I prepared this, the Lord took me here and didn't let me go anywhere but here. So I'd like to share another story that kind of has to do with the wallet, the weed eater. This one has to do with the parking space. So listen. Follow up with me. Just pay attention for a second. Over at our thrift shop, we have property that we release, we pay for, that actually includes not just the building that the property sits on, but parking spaces that surround the building. You guys get that, right? So in this property space that we have, there's a couple of parking spaces that are a part of our property that we pay for that we've never used, because there's other people that have always parked in this parking spaces that are a business that are adjacent to us, that they've kind of taken the parking spaces because they start a lot earlier than us, and so therefore they've claimed these parking spaces basically in assumption that they thought that they were theirs, they're rightfully theirs, not just because they got there first, because they just actually really did think that they were theirs or for anybody's to use. Over the years, and this has really been over the years, I've known where the property line is, and I know where our parking spaces are, but I've never raised a fuss about it because I think I just wanted to be a good neighbor. I don't know.
I never knew
they
were ours.
But see, that's a good comment, because see, what Leslie just said is exactly what Brittany just said. Brittany said the same thing, and I think even when I explained it to Matt, he said the same thing. I didn't even know they were ours to begin with. Well, guess what? I knew they were ours. Here's what I'm saying this, and I'm going to say this in a way that I need us to understand this, is I knew they were ours, but I let the enemy have them. I mean, the neighbor. Understand where I went really fast. Do you guys get that? And I went there intentionally, because I surrendered as the, I don't know if you want to call it, how about this, the pastor. You can call me the boss if you need to put that on. I surrendered that property space over to somebody that it didn't belong to. And it didn't put up a fight. Until this week, guess what he did? He wanted more of our spaces. More of our spaces. He wanted to take everything that was out there that was basically not usable and convert it into parking spaces for his employees. Whoo, here we go, because that just riled me up in such a way, and I don't know if it was the Spirit of the Lord or my flesh, but it was something that I just got, whoom, man, I got something inside me just fired, and I said, okay, it's on now. I would even say that there's, if you want to carry it into a spiritual battle, which it actually was, I felt like it actually was something, is he overstepped. The enemy overstepped, overplayed his hand. And so therefore, as he came in and said, hey, you know, the owner says, if it's okay with you, that we can have all these spaces out here also. And I said, ha, whew, okay, so actually, it was funny because I was driving, and he, like, hey, flagged me down and was like, hey, I want, you know, I was like, oh, he went through this, hey, buddy, and I just slammed the thing in park, shut the motor off. I said, here we go, let's get out. So here's what I did, and I did this, and I think the Lord did this, and I shared it with Matt first, and he said, that was all God. And so I said, oh, really? Wow, that really was God. That's cool. I didn't even realize it was, but it was really God. And so I was like, I said, look, here's the first thing. Let's take a walk. I said, let me show you where the property lines are. And I showed him where all the property lines were. And I said, and he goes, oh, whoa, wait. I know where those are. I know where the property lines are. And he goes, but I just was wanting to see if it was okay if we use space that is in your property. And I'm like, in a nice way, no. No. In fact, no. In fact, the space that you are using, you got to leave. You've got to get all your vehicles off of it now. And the very next day, they've never parked in those spaces again. And those are our spaces. But here's what I want us to go with something with this. And I want us to, because I believe that God did this. Because remember, God is aggressively active in restoring that which lost and stolen, and that which we have simply given up, surrendered to the enemy's care, if you will. I don't even want to use that word because the enemy doesn't care. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you guys following with me on this? Yes. Yeah.
So we talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week I went to the doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't be corrected to what I have you to say. The enemy took something of mine and twisted it, which could have cost me a lot of trouble.
Could have, yeah, amen. And so because you had the boldness, I believe, and the courage, I believe that to actually speak truth and to identify it as something that didn't belong and say, okay, how do I now reclaim that? Because here's the thing that I believe that this is what God, the Lord showed me, that is one of the biggest things is, is we deal with these things, lost, stolen, surrendered. Your identity is what God wants to restore to you first and foremost. In fact, it's your identity. You guys following with me? Your identity is who God is making in you. It's your identity that actually dictates how you live your life. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think about yourself, how you identify yourself, is the direction that your life will go. How you think is the way you go. What you think is the direction you go. That's why, is it not, you know, Glenn talks about it being an exciting time in prophetic world, and it absolutely is, but don't you see also in this world that we're living in, the most blatant attack against young people right now is what? Is their identity. I mean, it's going as far as their gender identity. And you think, that's just ridiculous, but it actually is a blatant attack against and right frontal attack. There's no subtleness about it. A frontal attack against people's identity, even your gender, whether you are male or female. It's even gotten so sickening and so distorted is that even as a parent these days, you will be called on the carpet even if you were to dress your child in gender-specific clothing and try to direct your child into being a boy or a girl. Like how those little girls dress today, our little granddaughters, that's almost unheard. You know, that's kind of taboo. It's like, how dare you dress them in a dress? You need to let them figure out what they want to be. Let them identify what they want to be as they come to this conclusion, whether they are male or female. You guys following with me on this? You guys seeing this? And you may say it's absurd. What's that?
Or a mermaid. That's a mermaid. That's what Jordan would be.
Yeah. She can't decide whether she wants to be a mom or a mermaid. We're talking her into the mom part, but letting her enjoy the mermaid stuff also as a four-year-old. Your identity comes from, listen, and so I'm going to get into this and get into, this is really good stuff. I believe that as you walk through this, some things might get a little gritty for you because you're going to have to identify some things that you have developed as, if you want to refer to it as an identity crisis, then I think that that might be what we need to identify it as. Our identity comes from messages that you've received in life, especially from people you consider to be credible sources, such as a parent, a teacher, a coach, even peers. And the enemy is very, very real and very active because he knows that early in life and often in life is the most effective form of developing one's identity. Early in life and often in life is the most effective form of developing one's identity. God knows this. The devil knows this. He's figured that out very plain and clear. Our identity drives our behavior. Our identity drives our behavior. So listen, if it's our identity that drives our behavior, some of us are still simply trying to change our behavior without changing your identity. How does that work out? Not very well. It works out like this. It's like when I get weeds in my lawn, if I were to go out there in a nice lawn and take a pair of scissors and cut the weeds down to where now I no longer see the weeds, but what does that do to the weed? It's still there. It's still there, and it actually, all it does is make it a little angry. And I don't know, have you ever had angry weeds? Yeah, they really do. I think they really do get angry. In fact, if you don't uproot them, not only will they just stay there, but they do this really nasty thing and they spread themselves, especially when you mow over them and then your mower gets that seeds and it just boom, all of a sudden you have a lawn full of weeds. That's not right. I don't like that. But that's why cutting weeds in your lawn with scissors is the same as just trying to change a behavior without changing, altering your identity. Let me get a little more graphic so that we can explain this and get what this looks like, and maybe some of you understand. Have you ever seen, and I thought about putting a little visual up there, but then I checked myself and said, no, that's probably not a good idea. But have you ever seen a chicken run around with his head cut off? When we talk about a chicken with its head cut off, I don't have an analogy to explain a chicken with its head cut off except a chicken with its head cut off. Sometimes we refer to people, especially in the restaurant world, run around like a chicken with the head cut off because they really are like, they don't know what they're doing. It's like their brain is just not connecting and their body's still doing things and it's just not working out right. But why does a chicken still run around with its head cut off? In fact, it's even if you Google it, and I don't know how true it is, but I Googled it, chicken with its head cut off, and come up with all kinds. I'm serious. There's stories of chickens actually living, or not living, but continuously walking around, even for up to 18 months, without a head. Hey, that's what Google said. I don't know. Okay, but let me get back to the point of what I'm making. Why does a chicken still able to walk around with its head cut off without any messages from the brain sending it to the muscles to tell it to do this or that, to walk, even to fly or to do stuff? Why is it able to do that? It's muscle memory. Muscle memory. The chicken is so adapted to doing what it's supposed to do, doing what it says its brain tells it to do, that because there's so little of a brain in a chicken that, and there's so much going on as there's a lot of muscles going on, there's a lot of muscle memory in a chicken. That's why they're the best example of it, because there's a lot of muscle but little brain. So the muscle memory still keeps doing what it's been doing Because that message, listen, that message from the brain has been sending it to those muscles for as long as that chicken's been alive, to where now that it no longer has the messages could be stopped. Obviously, no head, no message. Hello? You guys tracking with me on this for a second? I know there's a point to it. Really, there is. And there's a spiritual point at that. Is that the muscle memory still allows it to keep walking around. Whether it's 18 months or 2 minutes or whether it's 20 seconds or whatever, it still keeps doing it because of muscle memory. So what I'm getting to is this, is unless something changes in our identity, we will continue to do the thing. The messages that have been conveyed to you, have been sent down to you early and often in life, will continue to cause you to do those things. That's why, have you ever tried to change what you're doing without changing your thinking about yourself? You can't do it. You can't do it. It is impossible. You have the desire. You have every umption in your gumption to stop eating cookies and milk at 10 o'clock at night.
Testimony.
Because it keeps packing on pounds, and every time I quit, and it's like I know that I'm not supposed to do that, and I tell myself I don't want to do it, and then come about 10 o'clock at night, man, those cookies and milk just really sound good. And so I do it. What is it? What is that? What have I developed? A muscle memory. Muscle memory is a real thing, especially, listen to this, guys, especially in the muscle of my soul. Muscle memory is a very real thing. But I want to tell you this. That's actually good news. There's good news in that. Why is that? It's actually good news because in Christ, we are made new and being renewed by His grace through His faith daily. So as we renew the muscle memory, that's how we become new creations in Christ. It's being renewed, made new, constantly, daily. How does that work? And if we don't actually do something about it, and if you just show up here today and say, I have every desire to live for Christ, and you do nothing about it all week, absolutely nothing. Oh, maybe a little bit, you know, say a prayer, you know, as you're leaving the house. Oh, I pray for, you know, my kids' safety. What have you really done to cause the memory in your soul to be altered throughout the week? If you just show up here today, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's just not enough to alter the muscle memories of your soul. It's just not enough. It's a good thing. I'm going to say it's a good thing. In fact, bring your friends next week. That's a good thing too. There's a lot of empty seats here. But what I'm saying is, if this is all that you do, it's just not enough to alter who you are. Because you'll walk out of here with every desire to be different, but until something is altered in your identity, you will not be different. You'll just cut the weed, and it'll come back even stronger and even with more anger and ambition to take over. You guys understanding with where I'm going with this? Hello? Oh, it got really quiet and gritty, didn't it, for a second there? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, actually get into some Bible. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Starting in verse 8. He kind of describes it like this. But now you yourselves, because this is how it comes into play. This is how it actually works out in my life, and it actually works out in all of our lives this way. You yourselves are to cut off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouths. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and now you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Remember last week we talked about being a doer of the word as opposed to just a hearer of the word, because it's constantly reminding of us of the image of Christ in us that we're to look at and aim for and aspire to be like, and surrender to our old image, give that up, put it off, and put on the new. It's almost like he's even saying this. Well, let me read on, and I'll come back to it. So you put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even in as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It's kind of like clothes. You got to, you know, every night you take off your old clothes and every morning you put on the new clothes. Every day there must be a daily putting on these characteristics. Love, kindness, meekness. What does he say that they are? Let me go back and read that list because I love it. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, long-suffering. You got to put that stuff on. You got to put it on a regular basis. If we don't, actually I believe it's even where he says it in Revelation chapter 3 where he talks about the church, the Laodicean church. What does he refer to them as? That you claim to be rich, but you are poor. You claim to be clothed, but you are naked. Naked. It's a daily process, clothing yourself with the Spirit of God, the fruits of God's Spirit, the characteristics of God, putting that stuff on regularly. If you don't regularly say, I'm going to put on kindness, meekness, patience, goodness, to glorify God, bring as the image bearer of God, which that's who I'm created in His image, to be His image bearer, I'm going to do that so that people see Christ in me, the hope of glory. If I'm walking around in my old man, the old stuff, the old clothes, the old ways, they won't see Jesus in me. Why is that? Because it's covered up by the oldness of me. Hello? It's really that simple. It's not that complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's really quite that simple. Put on the new man on a regular daily basis, right? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's go. So the Lord showed me that this is something I want to get into this because I think it's really, really good. This is super, super good. In fact, this is exciting to me because I believe that there's something in this teaching and understanding that is going to set us free from continuously being struggling in a rut of doing the old thing, the old way, and not actually getting set free from my old system, my old ways, where it seems like things keep, the message of I'm worthless, I'm no good, I screw things up, I blow things up, I make a mess of things, is an old message that has become, and the Lord showed me that my identity is actually the stronghold of my very soul. Your identity is the stronghold of your very soul. What's that mean? Let's talk about it for a second. What that means is it's a war. It's a war. And it's not just a battle. A battle is short term. A war is constant. It doesn't end until He returns. It's a war that we are in when you said yes to Jesus. This war is what you're in. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, starting in verse 3. And we'll discuss it, and then I will talk about strongholds because I think it's really, really good. Because I've never really understood strongholds in a way that I've always kind of likened it to some spiritual thing, weird thing that I don't really get. But I know that there's something real to it. So I'm asking the Lord to show us what this is. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I believe there's another translation that refers to it as a wrestling match, as a we wrestle not against the weapons of this world, but it's a battle, it's a war battle that we've got to engage in, because if you don't engage in it, here's what happens. By default, you've allowed, listen, are you guys following with me on this? By default, if you don't engage in taking the strongholds down and battling for the strongholds of your mind, by default, you've allowed the strongholds of your mind to be placed there by the messages that you've heard since you were a child, that you've heard as you've grown up. You guys, anybody relate to anything that I'm talking about? Okay. No, it's really good to understand this. We might have even developed what we think as a stronghold, a place in my mind that I think I'm protecting myself, putting a guard around me, and all along it's simply keeping me in bondage. There's good news in this. Good news in this also. But let's talk about what a stronghold is. Because I think once we have to, by the Spirit of God, recognize the strongholds in our lives. And the next step is bringing down the strongholds is just simple, humble repentance. Be honest before God and humbly let the Holy Spirit expose, reveal to us what our stronghold might be in the darkness in our mind. That we might, we have to allow God the Holy Spirit to penetrate some places in my mind and in my heart that I might have set up as a barrier for everybody else to stay out of. Let God in. He's good and He loves you. He's good and He loves you, and He wants to do something that's magnificent and replace it with His Spirit. So you might even have to ask the Lord, test me, O Lord, examine my heart, know my thoughts, as David prayed. And when the Holy Spirit shows you an area of darkness, repent. Be honest with God about it. I will say, yes.
It's how we respond to that. Very much how like David did when he was confronted by Nathan.
Amen. Sometimes it's, well, even like I'll go as far as the three incidences that I shared, the wallet, the weed eater, and the parking spaces. I wasn't going and looking for any of those.
Yeah, yeah.
They just kind of got thrown into my lap. And the response that I had in the Lord, I believe they were all in the Lord to take back, reclaim, restore. That was the response. And I don't know, and Robin knows me better than anybody, there's something in me that if I see an injustice, something that will, like, it's almost scary to watch, she says. Sometimes I get scared for the other person because the injustice is, like, uh-oh. I mean, she's seen me pick up people and, like, yeah. Really? I did that? It's like, yeah, I guess so. But I believe that there's the Spirit of God that's doing that. And what I'm saying, and kind of going off what Matt said, is that I believe sometimes God will put these things into our path to deal with so that we can confront, so that we can deal with it rightly, so that we can reclaim, restore that which is lost, stolen, and been submitted over to in our lives, our identity. Our identity is the key here. Let's stick with our identity, because that's the key. That's where I want to go. I believe that's where God wants to do something, build it, develop the stronghold, because our identity is the stronghold of our soul. It really is that. When God shows you something, you might have a natural instinct to defend yourself or to excuse yourself. You need to, and we must, silence the little lawyer who steps out of the dark corner of your mind, pleading, but you're really not all that bad. it's not always your fault. Why doesn't she have to take the blame sometime? Ha! I hate that little lawyer because he gets in there and he's like starts planting a seed there, and all it does is make the battle, the stronghold of my mind, even more impenetrable by the Holy Spirit, because any humility gets replaced with pride. Defend myself. I'm not always wrong. Except when I'm always wrong. Justify. That's the word I was looking for. Justify. Why do we always, and you might be tempted to justify yourself. There's the good news. Let God do it. In Christ, what do you have? Justification. Oh, that's really good news. I don't need to justify my wrongs, my behaviors. In Christ, I am justified. I have justification in Christ and in Christ alone. Hello? Amen. Let's look at something. This is a really neat little example. So how do we do this? Sometimes the stronghold doesn't really just give up that easy. So how do we do this? I got a neat trick. Actually, it's not me at all. I'm sorry for even saying that. God has developed a battle tactic to take down strongholds in your life. And he's giving this to us today. This is really cool. And it's actually, it's not even that difficult to see and understand. It's very simple. It's a simple battle tactic to take down a stronghold. Because a stronghold is that which is developed. It's placed in a, it's usually in the middle of a city. It's in the middle of a place. Sometimes it can be in a cliff. It can be a hiding place for those, for the valuables, the people that are important of that city, such as King David. King David was always, it seemed like when I looked it up, he was continuously putting himself up in a stronghold when there were battles going on. And it wasn't to hide and run, but it was because he needed to place himself in a place that he was actually be usable for the battle. So he had to place himself in strongholds constantly so that he wouldn't get harmed or damaged from just, you know, stray arrows. So he had to place himself in places that were safe. It's called a stronghold. It's neat to look up. There's a lot of neat little places. It's actually, I was talking to Blake about it this morning, and we were talking about how Bethlehem is the city of David, but it's a place where he actually was, where his stronghold, that was his personal stronghold, was the city of Bethlehem. That is where he went. And interesting, that's where Jesus came out of. The place of the city of David was the place of a stronghold. I don't know, there's something to that too that's really cool. But listen to this. In the Six-Day War, and yes, you guys are going to, and I didn't even, this is really cool. This is interesting how this happened. And I don't know what, I haven't seen the documentary, so I don't even know what, I'm sure they'll deal with this. The Jewish soldiers, Israeli soldiers, they tried to capture the old city of Jerusalem with a frontal attack. A couple of times in this war of independence, but as soon as they got up to the gates of the old city, they were thrown back because a frontal attack was not working. So instead, what they did is they swept around the city to the north and they seized the Mount of Scopus. And then they kept on going up to the Mount of Olives to the east. And thus, having surrounded the city, they were able to do this. They were able to cut off supplies and reinforcements that were feeding Jerusalem. And though the Jordanian army tried to send reinforcements up from Jericho, but this time they were thrown back. So when the Jordanian general inside the old city realized that he was surrounded, he realized resistance was futile, so he cut his losses and fled the city, and the Israelis were able to break into the city with relatively little resistance. This is how we take down strongholds. We cut off its feed. Hello? We disarm, disable that which is continuously feeding it. Oh, I don't think everybody's getting that, though. Let God the Holy Spirit do this in you. There are things in your life, there are people in your life, there are situations in your life that you are putting yourself into a constant feed of enemy territory, of an enemy stronghold. You are allowing the feed to stick, to continuously flow through you and even to you and through you, to where the stronghold continues to get stronger, the enemy stronghold continues to get stronger and more developed, to where a frontal attack, just where we just say, well, just repent, just stop thinking that, just doesn't work. There must be a cut off of feed. God the Holy Spirit's got to do this. God the Holy Spirit's got to do this in you and in me and in us. You guys, are you guys tracking with me at all on this?
Yes.
You guys ever realize that there, you know, there's help groups out there, AA, NA. There's a lot of really nice groups that deal with addictions and you deal with disorders, right? That are to help us walk through it. I've never seen a group, maybe I just don't know about it out there, but I've never seen a group or a program, if you will, that helps us get free from just bad talk, gossip. Just where we just feed each other just garbage on a regular basis. I don't know. Maybe there is one out there that just says, hey, this is for all the gossipers out there that are addicted to it, and all the garbage feeders and garbage eaters that, you know, we just want to get free from it. Well, but what I'm saying is there's nothing out there that says, here's the real problem, is you keep feeding this stronghold the lie. When you keep feeding the lie becomes then a truth. And the lie then starts becoming such a part of my makeup that now I've developed this thing of who I am. Hello? What's it called? My identity. My identity now then becomes this lie, and I've developed it. And you know what? I'll come around people, hey, you know, don't you think I'm this kind of person? Don't you think, hey, what about that person over there? They said this about me, and what do you think about that? Oh, yeah, it's all their fault, too. Yeah, I agree. Hey, come on, don't you think I'm really not that kind of a person? And we'll go to people, and you know what we're doing? I'm just feeding the stronghold. I'm making it so, so huge by getting people to say, yes, you are a victim. It's all everybody else's fault. You're the victim. Hello? Nobody can relate to any of that, right? No, yeah, I know. You guys are all such good Christians. I'm so proud of you. This is how successful military planners, they take down a stronghold. They surround it and they cut off its supplies. If you keep feeding the supply, it's not going to break. Let's move on. It's not going to break. It's not going to break. And you could do all the Jesus stuff you want to do. You could have a seance, a deliverance, or whatever it is you want to do, and you keep doing it, it's not going to break. I'm sorry. I'm not. I need to tell you the truth. You keep doing what you always do, the stronghold will stay and remain a stronghold and keep getting even stronger. You got to cut it off. Got to cut off the lies. Huh. Good news. Good news. Did I bother anybody yet? Probably. Good. Okay. There's good news. Because there's good news. What once belonged to the enemy can now, in Christ, belong to God. Let's do something really awkward and yet freeing. You guys with me? Did I get your attention? If I asked you to write a letter to yourself about yourself from God, what would it say? If I asked you to write a letter to yourself, no, you got to write it, to yourself about yourself, but from God, what would it say? What would it say?
Why are you so scared?
That's where we get to the reality of where we might, if you go home this week, ask yourself that, what would I really say? What would I really say? If you wrote a letter to yourself about yourself from God, what would it really say? And that's that identity, understand that is your identity, because it's what you've developed as a stronghold, and your identity is a stronghold of your soul. You understand that? It's very simple. I'm not going to say that's easy, because that might be really difficult for some of us. So I'm going to do something that's really awkward, but yet freeing. Actually, it's not awkward, but that very thing could be awkward, to write that letter to yourself about yourself from God. Really just spend some time this week, and like I'm saying, if you come back next week and nothing's done in the Lord and nothing happens, you're probably going to be in the same spot as you when you came in here today. I'm going to read a letter to you about you from God. You guys all have it in your bulletins if you didn't throw it away. It's simply the Who I Am in Christ by Neil Anderson, which is scripture. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. And you know what? You know what Linda said is a good example, is people don't really know anything that they're really doing. They're just taking sides. Well, I don't know if you remember, but in Acts, remember when Paul and Silas, they went into a certain city and got everybody riled up, and people showed up in the center meeting place, and a lot of people showed up, and they just started a riot. And it says directly, specifically in there, that a lot of people didn't even know what they were shouting about or why they were there, but they were there and they were cheering the crowd on. So it always has been this way. People will constantly go a direction that the people go. We are called to be in Christ and to know who we are, have our identity, shored up in the stronghold of who God is. And listen to this. Let's read this letter. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord. I am one I am one spirit with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I have been bought with a price. I belong to the Almighty God. That's good news. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint, a holy one. I have been adopted as God's child. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. As somebody who didn't have a dad, and a dad that wasn't a part of my life, that only spoke things that degraded me into my life, except when I was playing baseball with him. Maybe that's why I love baseball. Whoa, that just went deep somewhere in my soul. I didn't intend to go there. So, so grateful that God has transformed my mind, and the stronghold of my mind is now His Spirit, His truth, His Word in me and through me. Hallelujah and amen. And I've been adopted into the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just let this soak in, guys. However we, and if the Lord inspires you to say, then say. Speak if the Lord gives you a word to speak. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Woo! That's awesome! Oh, come on, that's really awesome. Oh, I am complete in Christ. Can't add to that. I am complete. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that all things will work together for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means I can say praise God in the good, praise God in the bad, praise God in the mediocre, Praise God in the humdrum day-to-day stuff that I got to do that tires me out. Praise God. All things work to good, for good. Yes and amen. I am free from any condemning charges against me. Little lawyer, get out of here. Go see the big one. I cannot be separated from the love of God. Hallelujah. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. That means he's not going to stop until it's done. He's not going to give up on me. Oh, yeah, that's good. He's not going to give up on me. I've wanted to give up on me lots of times. Lots of times I've wanted to just give up on me. Lots of times. And he says, no, I'm not ever going to give up on you. Ooh, he's our champion. Gosh. Oh, boy. Okay, no, I can't read. Okay. I am a citizen of heaven. Ooh, that's good. That's just good news in itself. Yeah. I am hidden with Christ in God. It's like a chick, you know, a baby chick, not a chicken with its head cut off, but a baby chick that's under its chicken's wings, you know, under the eagle's wings, and just like, ooh, I'm just concealed, I'm safe and protected and hidden in Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of discipline or a sound mind. Oh, yes. And I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Woo! I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. I am a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. Hallelujah. I am a temple of God. Man, I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship created for good works. And I may approach God with freedom and confidence. In fact, he likes spending time with me. He wants to commune with me. He wants to fellowship with me. He wants to talk to me. He wants to spend time with me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I like this little last thing that Neil Anderson, well, it's I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am who I am in Christ. Amen? That's what the letter should look like. To yourself, about yourself, from God. The strong tower, the stronghold of your life is your identity. You develop your identity in Christ as Christ sees you. You allow the Word of God to transform your mind and make you into the new creation that he's created you to be. And that strong hold of a failure, of a nothing, of somebody who always screws it up, will be displaced, removed, and replaced by purpose, by love, by fulfillment, friendship with God. Amen? Amen. Let's give God the glory. Let's worship him in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we give you glory and praise and honor. And even as we come together, as we I call it one last, and it's not a last one because it's not, even today won't be one last hoorah of praise and worship to you, Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have paid the price for my sin. You have, Lord Jesus, You have Lord Jesus, our commander in chief. You have taken down the enemy. You have defeated every enemy, including death. That there is no more sting in death. There's no more power of sin in my life. And in Jesus' name, we worship you, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we just simply ask if even just the understanding of what we opened up today, we ask that that place of stronghold that I might have developed as something that I'm thinking is a form of protection, but instead it's a form of bondage, that will be displaced and that will be replaced by the stronghold of who you are in me. I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do that in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And if that hasn't started, that work hasn't started, you start it and that you continue it. And you continue it. You don't let up until you have completely taken all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.